This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I like to talk about Zen a lot, and I like to come to sesshins a lot, and I haven't been able to do that for years. And I almost feel like I have to talk about Zen, and I was planning to talk about Zen, but read some Zen women poets from way back, our ancestor Zen women. However, I do have a poet that I love that I used to read, and it had significance during a sesshin, I thought. And this is by Li Qingzhao, I think. Yeah, one of the described as the greatest female poet in the Chinese tradition. And here's the poem. Who's with me sitting alone at a moonlit window? There's just the two of us, my shadow and I. And when the bedside lamp goes out, shadow's gone, leaving me abandoned here. Nothing more? Nothing more? Just this amazing thing, all grief and worry that I am. My own grief and worry. Amazing. So is it time to go the way we usually go? And people who are on Zoom or in the Zendo, please read a poem.
There's one in here in the Zendo.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I think I'm okay. So I'd like to read a poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. One note on vocabulary.
Hey, what's your name? Could you tell us your name? Hi, Jeff. Jeffrey. Okay. Thank you.
And before I read it, I'm going to mention the meaning of the word pinyin in case anyone such as myself isn't otherwise too familiar with that word. This refers to the feathers of a bird's wing used for flight. Okay, this is time, real and imaginary, an allegory. On the wide level of a mountain's head, I knew not where, but 'twas some fairy place. Their pinions, ostrich-like, for sails outspread. Two lovely children run an endless race. A sister and a brother, this far outstripped the other. Yet ever runs she with reverted face, and looks and listens for the boy behind. For he, alas, is blind. O'er rough and smooth, with even step he passed, and knows not whether he be first or last.
Thank you. I'm already getting tears in my eyes. I don't know why. It's just very, very touching. Thank you.
It's a touch of poem. I agree. Thanks, everyone.
I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. If you're on Zoom, you can make a little hand go up. I don't know how, but okay, Kave. Hi.
Hi. This is from a rock song from 40 years ago that I've loved since my teenage years. It's called Brothers in Arms. It's about war. These mist-covered mountains are a home now for me, but my home is the lowlands and always will be. Someday you'll return to your valleys and your farms, and you no longer bear to be brothers in arms. Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I witnessed your suffering as the battle raged higher. And though they did hurt me so bad, in the fear and alarm, you did not desert me, my brothers in arms. There's so many different worlds, so many different suns, and we have just one world, but we live in different ones. Now the sun's gone to hell and the moon's riding high. Let me bid you farewell. Every man has to die. But it's written in the starlight and every line in your palm. We are fools to make war on our brothers in arms.
You said you wrote that, right, Kaveh?
Oh, no. This is...
You didn't?
No. This is by Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits.
Oh, no. You have a wide scope on poetry, and that was truly a great poem.
Yeah, I love this poem.
Yeah.
And his guitar. Beautiful song.
Hi, Peter.
Okay. There I go.
There you go.
Hello to all. And taking the segue from Kaveh in that broad scope of poetry, and taking up Paula's suggestion that we honor Women's History Month, and one of the most powerful women's voices whose lyrics stay with me for decades, have stayed with me for decades, wrote this. I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. Because I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever going to keep me down again. You can bend but never break me, because it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, because you've deepened the conviction in my soul. I am woman, watch me grow. See me standing toe to toe as I spread my loving arms across the land. But I'm still an embryo with a long, long way to go until I make my brother understand. Yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I've paid the price, but look how much I've gained. If I have to, I can face anything. I am strong. I am invincible. I am woman. Written and sung by Helen Reddy.
Well, thank you. Hey, Carolyn.
It's So picking up from Peter's theme and or the poem, that beautiful poem that Peter just read, and also your prompt to or suggestion to honor women poets, I actually am going to read one of mine because of Peter's. And this is called To Our Mother, Prajna Paramita. Buddha's womb is not as easy to see as her breasts. It bears ceaseless sorrow from repeating habits of hate. It bears ceaseless joy from flowing without a trace.
Pamela.
I have one too from a woman author, Heather Christie. It's called Summer. Sorry. Today you find yourself guilty as the rim you split an egg against. You press charges, you spell out your name like the letters are medals for good conduct in a bad war. The night moves in with you into your room until even your sleep is not your own. Through the window, the grass tells you to give up, and you are trying. But on the other hand, things keep you. The moon, the cars. You undress yourself more deeply. Down like this is the way to get to the future. You let the darkness medically examine you. So much cannot be put back together. To burn the house down, to burn the house up, it's the same problem in any direction. Your matter, you turn on the light.
This is a poetic comment. It's not written as a poem. This is from Road to Heaven by Bill Porter, or Red Pine. He's interviewing a nun, and he asks her, how often do you go down the mountain? And her name is Che Hui, and she replies, I go down to the village about once a month to buy things like flour and salt, cooking oil, and kerosene. If I don't need anything, I don't go down. I plant all the vegetables I need, and the potatoes last all winter. During the summer, I work every day in the garden. Usually, there is something to eat. When there's not, I don't worry about it.
Thanks, Chiro. You know, some of these poems people are reading, I read this week, a couple of them. Great. Would you like me to read one that I like especially? I brought several, but this one, I think. This is by Lucille Clifton, a very wonderful Black poet. called Telling Our Stories. The fox came every evening to my door, asking for nothing. My fear trapped me inside, hoping to dismiss her. But she sat till morning waiting. At dawn, we would each of us rise from our haunches, look through the glass, then walk away. Did she gather her village around her and sing of the hairless moon face, the trembling snout, the ignorant eyes? Child, I tell you now, it was not the animal blood I was hiding from. It was the poet in her, the poet and the terrible stories she could tell. Lucille Clifton. Hey, Randy. Can't hear you.
Got to push the right button.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know. You want me to read something? Or
I do.
I didn't have any. I was actually looking through a Rumi book I have, and I couldn't find anything that just clicked with me. But I had something in it's a tiny little poem by a young person who I'm connected with this group that does, it's called Cricket House here in Modesto. And they do a lot of artwork with kids. These are kids from very troubled home lives. Let's say domestic abuse and alcohol. And so once a year, the woman that runs it gets artists to come and look at some of their writings that they do. And you pick a writing and you make a piece of art to it and you take it up to the north part of town and sell it to the rich people to get money so these guys can go to camp and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. So I had this little thing where you read their thing and then you're supposed to respond to it with your own little paragraph and whatnot besides the piece of art that you do. So I'm just going to read that. It's kind of real different. Her little thing that she said was sad to happy, happy to sad. And that was her thing. That was her, you know. And so then my little response to it, how our lives move between and our self-care is how to be with each. The image I saw was the tree of life, and that includes everything. How to nurture ourselves and others with kindness. So the thing I did was I did a ceramic plate with a tree of life, all this crazy stuff all over it. You know, just it's both ends of the spectrum from sad to happy. So that was it. So I just, young people have a lot to say.
Yeah, they sure do.
Especially ones that go through have a lot of issues in their life. Yeah.
So, I know. That was it. Don and I taught in poets in the schools, and that was quite an experience. Yeah. Oh, I loved bet. It. I just came across a poem that a student had written, but, you know, now I can't find it, of course. had to turn the poems back to the students, you know, and which was good. And then the part I didn't like is you had to choose. For the teachers wanted this because they wanted their students in there. You had to choose the best poem to put in the magazine. And it's like, whoa.
That's tough.
Yeah. And it wasn't what I thought was the best poem necessarily. I don't know. But what you did is just right out in the open, you know? And so it was coming together on that, the whole community. I love that idea.
It's a special thing each year.
Yeah,
I've done it about last year was the sixth or seventh year. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amanda. I have one wild
geese. I see your face, Amanda. I guess I hear of you, but I haven't seen you before. Okay, I can see you. Yeah, hi.
Emily. this is Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Hey there, Nico. Are you going to read?
Yeah, I'll read something. I've got something here. Now I'm on. Okay. This is a lyric I wrote. It's a song I wrote. It's called Born an Orphan. I left here a troubled girl. I return a girl with a plan. Stop trying to make sense of it all like there's something to understand. Here is where I belong. Singing my sad song of how I died giving birth to myself and was born an orphan. Gotta use my losing to my advantage. They can't take that away from me. And the damage done and the damage won can't make them see what they don't want to see. My eyes are too open to see. And I'm dragging too much behind me. So I'm letting it go. What comes of it no longer matters. Here is where I belong, singing my sad song of how I died giving birth to myself and was born an orphan. Do my choosing and take my chances. They won't take that away from me. Don't tell, don't ask, such a thankless task. What's it ever done for me? La, 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 la. So I'm letting it go. What comes of it no longer matters. Here is where I belong, singing my sad, sad song of how I died giving birth to myself and was born an orphan. Died giving birth to myself and was born an orphan. Died giving birth to myself and was born an orphan.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, Don.
Morning. I'm not much on poetry, but I pulled this book out of a drawer in this room I'm in that was from when I was about 16 and I started getting into Buddhism. And it says in here where I wrote a bunch of haikus down that this was from D.T. Suzuki, Zen and Japanese culture, which very much influenced me with its beauty about art and the Japanese culture. So this is from a poetess, Chio, who lived from 1703 to 1775. I won't read the Japanese because I would embarrass myself. So I'll just read the English translation. Ah, morning glory, the bucket taken captive, I begged for water. Ah, morning glory, the bucket taken captive, I begged for water. The story that goes with this that I wrote down was that the bucket to her water well was entwined with the morning glory vines that bore a flower. So touched by this, Chio begged water from a neighbor.
It makes me want to come up with a one-line poem. I mean, haiku and in English, when you do it the regular, you know, they try to do the 5-7-7. There are way too many syllables in it. And yours didn't have it, you know. Yours, that was perfect. But I want to try to do haiku like Allen Ginsberg called it, the American sentence. And I don't even remember what it was. But it's fast. I didn't know that. I taught students from other countries as well as when I worked at Cabrillo, one of my classes I taught. And they could, you know, they spoke English well to go to school, but it was so rich. And the poetry they brought in was so beautiful, and some beautiful poets in the class. But really, it was later another class that this woman from Japan read haiku in Japanese that we were studying. And this was like another basic English class. And it went so fast, really fast. So I can't tell you anymore because I can't remember the details, but I'm planning to look into it. It can just be a series of images, or it can be, you can look through a poetry book and find it there. Some people have very sparse lines. Actually, I do usually. And it can go very quickly. Either way, I'm really grateful to hear that. Thank you. We're going to have to start dragging someone up off their cushion now, if you want to go on, or I could read some more poems, a couple more.
I have one, another one from an American woman, female poet. It's she's a famous poet. It's Naomi Shihab Rai. Yeah. It's called Kindness. So it's her version of the Metta Sutra. Maybe. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weekend broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. before, you know, the tender gravity of kindness. You must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plants and the simple bread that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread. Only kindness that raises his head from the crowd of the world to say, it is I you have been looking for, and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend.
I have a couple more by Anna Swerer, and I can't choose between the two. But I really like them, like 30 years ago, and now I'm going, whoa, this is about me. She is six, the greatest love. She is 60. She lives the greatest love of her life. She walks arm in arm with her dear one. Her hair streams in the wind. Her dear one says, you have hair like pearls. Her children say, old fool. My children, my child would never say that. And here's a poem by Anna Swer also. She was an evil stepmother. In her old age, she is slowly dying in an empty hovel. She shudders like a clutch of burnt paper. She does not remember that she was evil, but she knows that she feels cold.
I have some short poems from Jane Hirschfield. Her latest book called Ledger. So, my hunger. The way the high wire walker must carry a pole to make her arms longer. You carried me. I carried you through this world. My longing, my hope, my despair, my longing. Every pocket I put you in had a hole. Mouse and mouth, too, have their longings and hungers. I called you my life. Good dog, I said. Good dog. As if we could answer. And the last one of her series that I'll read, there are quite a few in this little series in the book. My wonder that it is 1/2 degree centigrade, that I eat honeydew melon for breakfast, that I look out through the oval window, that I am able to look out through an oval window.
Well, I can follow with another Jane Hirschfield. This is called The Weighing. The heart's reasons seen clearly. Even the hardest will carry its whip marks and sadness and must be forgiven. As the drought-starved eland forgives the drought-starved lion who finally takes her enters willingly then the life she cannot refuse, and is lion, is fed, and does not remember the other. So few grains of happiness measured against all the dark, and still the scales balance. The world asks of us only the strength we have, and we give it. Then it asks more, and we give it.
Can I read one now? I think there's time. I told Carolyn I was going to read one of mine from a teeny, teeny chat book that I wrote in the airport on the way leaving a sesshin at Jokoji. I'll have to save that for my Santa Barbara debut. This is by Alice Ostriker. Like a skin on milk, I write to you. I hurl the letters of your name onto every page, one and many. I know you are reading over my shoulder. Look, each of us possesses a book like this, a book of life. Each attempts to read what the other has scripted in these almost illegible letters tipped by crowns. What is the story we want to know?
I think Nico wanted to read a poem. No, Nico?
It's Nico, of course.
Yes, I do have another one here. This is another lyric to a song of mine. This is called, I thought of this after hearing Pamela's last reading. This is called To Give. Okay. Daughter, mother, calling to you, sister, sister. It comes down to this, sister, just something to know. Undercover or pulling out all the stops, like waiting for a pressure drop to balance the flow. I know the rules, sometimes I've obeyed them, but I won't pretend I don't see the things I can't keep away from. And it's your life, and it's my life, and it's her life, and it's our lives. And we only get one life to live. And it's too late, and it's too soon, and it's too much, and it's never enough. And you know, sometimes something's got to give, to give, to give, to give. Baby, sweet baby, we're keeping the home fires burning. A message for the most discerning, just something to know. Leaving nothing and everything in return, stripped bare in the camera glare till you've nothing to show. Don't believe the unbelievable. Do what you will do. Don't learn to enjoy being miserable. And it's your life, and it's my life, and it's her life, and it's our lives. And we only get one life to live. And it's too late, and it's too soon, and it's too much, and it's never enough. And you know, somehow something's got to give. To give, to give, to give.
Hi, Peter.
How about one from Angie?
Oh, yes. I think that's acceptable.
If I were an angel, if I were an angel, I'd take off my long brown wings and stay on earth, keeping the knowledge of heaven inside my heart, always awake. while I live as stained and bewildered as I do now, so it could be seen that even the life of a fool is just one greening world, forever fed by the silver springs of heavenly wisdom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angie.
I should have mentioned, you're free to read a poem or two by men, but we only have 4 minutes. But if anyone has a poem by a man, of course. Anybody in there? I'm happy. I'm happy with these poems.
I'll say a couple of lines from Hafiz. I'll say it in Farsi first. سالها دل طلب جام جم از ما می کرد، آنچه خود داشت بیگانه تمنا می کرد. گوهری که از صدف کون و مکان بیرون بود، طلب از گم شدگان لب دریا می کرد. For years, my heart was seeking the all-seeing chalice from me. What it had itself, it was seeking from others. The pearl that was beyond the shell of space and time was seeking directions from the lost souls walking by the seashore.
Have you translated that?
I just said what he said, yeah. As accurately as I could, yeah.
Yes, you translated it. It was beautiful. You know, you have to be a poet to translate that well. Well,
thank you, yeah. We have our.
I turned you off. Couldn't hear you, but.
I just said we have a lot of wonderful poets here, including our own Nico, Carolyn, you, Pamela, so on and so forth. I just love poetry and I read it.
Peter.
Okay, so here's from a male of our extended Sangha, Chuck Atkinson.
Okay.
Notes my father never sent me. When crows croak in flight, close your eyes, inhabit that moving amplitude. Granite's more than stone, it's life, each moment a prism. You save just bright ones? Your mother was sky, not always clear. Even blue is a shade of want. Seedling, old pine's tip. We start and end green, always anticipating. How to endure? Burn each drop of your precious sap, dye a mosaic. I was ignorant, veins petrifying to rust. Please learn to forgive. Chuck Atkinson. Mm-hmm.
It's 12:30. I don't see Doug. But do you have a poem to read, Doug?
I don't. I did not come prepared today, but in 2 months you will be here in Jokoji.
to read more poetry, right?
Well, I'll be prepared. I'm hoping to do more than that. I'm hoping to give prompts for poems and do have people do meditation in the Zendo and walking meditation and reading to the group.
When is that, though? When is that, Doug and Pamela, Paolo? When are you coming exactly?
We'll let you know. It'll be in the thing. I think it's the 28th of March, although when I think about it, I need to, May. When I think about it, I need to talk to the rest of the GTs and see, you know, how, if there's, how that's going to work out. They've agreed on it, but maybe a little longer. Maybe I could come a little earlier or something, or stay later. But I will, the Sunday talk, I will do the Sunday talk, and it might be a chance for some of us, all of us, to read poems that we've written. Or you may be forced to. No, but we'll read poems we've written, and other people will probably bring in poems too. Thank you so much. And thank you to Balin in the other room who helped move me into his office because it has the good internet connection. And it was quite an effort. And thank you for having my back, Doug, in case my connection went out. It's just so great to see you. And you're coming to see me next week, right, Doug? Yeah.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
Come and see me.
All right. See you all soon. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.